If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome to the Real Deep Movie Reviews podcast. This week we're discussing the film Him, starring Marlon Wayans and Tyreek Withers. Quick heads up, we're going to have plenty of spoilers in our discussion today. All right, so what were your initial impressions?
I was really shocked, honestly. That was my first kind of impression. Like, I didn't really know what to expect going into it, but like, I kind of had an expectation. But it was better than I expected. Like, I thought it was really good. Like, I really enjoyed the movie. And yeah, I guess I was shocked at how much I enjoyed it, because I didn't think I was going to enjoy it like to that level, you know?
Yeah, I kind of had a similar experience. I really enjoyed it, and I didn't necessarily know exactly what to expect. Like, I didn't know exactly what kind of movie it was going to be, right? But yeah. It was entertaining. I really liked it. It's gotten a ton of hate, though.
I know.
Like, yeah. It's kind of widely panned, and you know, everyone's down on it. I don't know. What's your take on all the hate it's gotten?
I feel like a lot of the people who are hating on it, from what I saw, it seemed like they didn't understand the message in the movie. Or like, yeah, like, because I remember seeing somebody say that they felt like the message didn't get across well. And I was thinking, well, I completely understood the message they were trying to prove. Like, right? Like, the message they were trying to make was, they were kind of talking about the negative things within the, like, the industry of, like, the NFL, honestly, is mostly the NFL, right? Like, how they handle injuries, how some of, like, the big companies, but, you know, like, the teams, and how they're taking advantage of these young players, taking advantage of them getting injuries. Like, there were just a lot of, and even, like, little things, like, with the trainer, like, the way they kind of did things with the trainer, about how he acted and talked, things he said and did. Like, there was a lot of, like, very subliminal things, but then also a lot of things where it was kind of in your face. It was like, this is what they're saying. And I don't know how you can't get that across. If you've ever watched even a little bit of NFL, you should understand what the message is.
Yeah. I don't get that either. Like, I almost thought it was very much in your face, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, partway through the movie, I'm like, oh, this whole thing is just a metaphor for like how the NFL and how these teams and these owners treat the players that make them all the money. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, it kind of goes back to the whole concussion thing from, you know, the early 2000s or whatever, where they, you know, the NFL and the owners knew about the long-term consequences of concussions for decades.
Yeah.
And didn't share that information with mm-hmm. the people that were playing and getting injured. Right. And so it was very much like, I thought, almost like in your face from that standpoint. So it's weird to me to hear that people didn't get it, or they didn't think that the message came across.
Yeah. And yeah, there were just a lot of things. I mean, like, they did like a little bit of a thing on like the sicko fans, and how for some of the players, they almost get blinded by the attention from the fans, like the praise that they're getting from the fans and stuff. Like, and that's not probably most players, but like players who are in the league for a long time, that's like, why are they still playing again? Right. Like, it's probably that they're probably blinded by the praise they're getting. They love it, you know?
Yeah. If you've been told you're great by these fans and they love you and they adore you for, you know, 10, 15 years, it might be hard to walk away from that. Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, you see that with the music industry, or you see that with any like celebrities, honestly, like people who get a lot of praise, they seem to, it does seem to go to their head. And I'd say there's very few, if any, examples of somebody it not going to somebody's head. But also, when you do see like the owners of the team at the end, they are wearing like the pig masks, which the pig mask represents like greed and like those negative like qualities and stuff. So that's something else that like I thought was well done. We're like, you know, we talked about like there's always pig masks in horror movies and stuff. And yeah, it represents like greed and negative types of like behaviors. It's like, yeah, when you see somebody wearing the pig mask, it's like, that's a bad guy. You know, that's not good. But I feel like that represents the owners really well, where it's like a lot of the decisions they're making are based off of greed. They're based off money. They're not on what's best for the players, what's best for the team. It's, well, no, this is what's best for me and my money.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's another one of those examples where I thought it was really clear the message they were trying to get across, right? Mm-hmm. Like you put a pig mask on these owners, right?
Yeah.
At the time that they're like trying to get you to sign a contract and mm-hmm. all that, right? Like to me, the symbolism's pretty obvious there.
Yeah.
I wonder if part of it is people were expecting something different.
I think so. I think people were, because like, and I think part of the problem, I think they did it themselves in some ways, because they marketed it as a Jordan Peele movie. Jordan Peele was a producer on the movie. He did not direct a movie. So it wasn't Jordan Peele's movie. So people were expecting something along the lines of Get Out or Us or Nope, which are all great movies, right? But they're not the same. Now, I definitely could see Jordan Peele's influence in this movie and a lot of different things, but this was not a Jordan Peele movie. It was not the same as those movies. It was still very different. And I think that threw a lot of people off. And again, they did it themselves because they put it all over the marketing. Like, oh, Jordan Peele, like they put his name real big. And it's like, yeah, that we all know who Jordan Peele is. But like, if this isn't his movie, you shouldn't be broadcasting it as his movie.
Yeah, they were trying to take some of the, you know, he's gotten a lot of accolades for those movies, right?
Yeah,
and so, yeah, they were definitely trying to gin up some, you know, some sales from using his name, right? And trying mm-hmm. to hype up the movie in that way. And I agree that probably worked against him a little bit. I mean, if people were expecting more of a traditional horror movie or like a really scary movie or something that's going to be, you know, like a slasher or something like that, that's not what it was, right?
Yeah.
I would say it's more of like a psychological thriller.
Which, I mean, Jordan Peele's are more along the line of a psychological thriller as well. Like they're definitely more, like they're not, I feel like they're not, because I feel like his movies, because this movie, him had, it had a lot of horror elements in it, but like it was never really scary. It was very intense and stressful and anxious, but like it was never really scary. It had some jump scares, but like that was it. Jordan Peele's movies, they're very similar. They follow a very similar formula and like the psychological horror kind of thing. But they have a lot more of like genuinely like unsettling, scary moments of it just being like this is clearly a horror movie. Like there's no debate on if this is horror or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked the thriller aspect of it though, what mm-hmm. they were doing. Like it kept me engaged. I was engaged throughout the entire thing. I was entertained throughout the entire thing. You didn't know what was going to happen, right? So like it sort of kept you guessing, even though it didn't have those scary moments, those jump scares, things like that, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought, you know, there was some hate I saw for like the, you know, they kept showing like the brain, like when he would, so the main character, he gets a concussion right before, or he gets attacked right before the, mm-hmm. the combine, the NFL combine. Right.
Yeah.
And so he can't participate in the combine. And so, Marlon Wayans' character is this like veteran. He's won, I think it's like 8 Super Bowls basically. Mm-hmm. Right. And so he's like the star quarterback, but he's nearing the end of his career.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, come try out with me on my compound. Right. I got a private facility. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the combine. So he gets out there and the guy's still recovering from his head injury and his concussion, right?
Yeah.
And then every time they show him in these practice sessions and he's like, his head's getting hit or something, right? Or at different moments, he's like doing something. And then they show his brain, or they show a brain like being impacted by this.
Well, they show like, yeah, they show like a, almost like a X-ray type of like almost like a Mortal Kombat X-ray moment of like his whole like bone structure and like then his brain and his head too and all that.
Yeah. And some people didn't like that. They felt like it was
really
like they did that too much, or like it was just, I don't know, it was too much. And I don't know. I didn't agree.
Yeah. I actually felt like that.
It fit in well with what they were trying to do, right? They were trying mm-hmm. to show the impact, you know, part of I think the messaging was to try to show the impact of these head injuries on the person and their psyche. Right.
Yeah.
And so it was like something would happen and then they would show the physical impact to the brain, right? Like, mm-hmm. To me, it made total sense. I didn't feel like it was too much.
And also, I thought, like, design-wise, I thought it was cool. Like, it was something that was different. It stood out.
Looked good.
And, yeah, no, I actually saw, I saw people did like that. Like, I saw they thought it was, like, it was a cool little thing. But, yeah, I mean, maybe there are some people who didn't like it, too. I don't know. I feel like a lot of the things I saw that were, like, complaints were a lot of, like, cherry-picking things. Where it was like, oh, well, I didn't like this. I didn't like that. And it's just like, that's like a really small thing. You don't like the movie because of that. Like, that's kind of dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked how he kind of went on this, this journey, right? Like Tyreek Withers' character, he goes on this journey where he's like, he's got his sort of morals or whatever, right? And how he wants to do it. And then, you know, Marlon Wayans' character like starts out and you like see this guy and you're like, oh, what a great guy. Like he's taking him into this compound. He's trying to like show him the ropes and teach him some stuff. And then they start to like get into some training and it just sort of like slowly sort of spirals from there. Right. Where you're like, now you start to question Marlon Wayans' character. Like, well, who is this guy? Right.
Yeah. I thought they did a great job of representing how he was coming in, he was trying to do it his own way. He had his morals, he was trying to do it his way. He even said, like, at the beginning of the movie, he doesn't want anything given to him. He wants to earn it, right? Marlon Wayans is, like, the, like, reflection where it's, like, you could tell there were certain times where, and his wife had said this, where there were certain times where he was, like, jealous. And now, on one hand, that might have been to try to build, like, you know, a little bit of a dispute between the two of them. But I think he might have been jealous of the fact that he did have morals and he was doing it his own way. And he probably saw himself in that. He was probably like, that's what I wanted to do, but I didn't do it. I gave in. I signed the contract. I decided to let it be handed to me and I went along with whatever they had planned. And that's the difference at the end when he had that line. Remember, he told him, like, there's going to be a time where you're going to feel like you don't have a choice, but you do. Or how did he put it? He said, like, if you're a prisoner and you've been starving to death and you have an option between a key and a loaf of bread, you know, you're going to feel like you only have one choice.
Right.
And so his point was that, yeah, like, you're going to feel like you only have one choice. You have to do this thing. But there's always another choice. You don't have to do it. And that led to Tyreek's character at the end deciding he wasn't going to sign the contract and he was going to do it his own way. He was going to stick to his guts. And then, you know, then, spoiler alert, then he killed all the heads and the owners of the team and stuff. So I thought that was really well done. I liked how there was that journey and like adventure and like there was a story within the story of like his journey, you know?
Yeah. And well, and he developed, his character develops throughout.
Yeah.
Right. Like, because he starts out and he's, you know, he's solely focused on like making it to the NFL. Right. Mm-hmm. And this thing happens to him. And now he's like, he's trying to do it, but he wants to do it the right way. But you see him like start to slip when he's working with Marlon Wayans. Right. Like there are moments where he does some stuff and you're like, oh
yeah.
Like this guy's,
he kind of starts to fall a little bit. Like you can see he starts to kind of like go back and forth on like what he should do. And like he headbutts one of the guys and like gives him like a really bad like head injury.
Well, yeah. And then the guy drops down. I like that they did that scene. He drops down and he goes into that like paralysis, like pose
where the arms kind of like come up a little bit. Yeah.
You know, Tua's done like a couple of times, unfortunately, in the last 5 years.
I did like that. I thought that was a great, like, I mean, again, like that's something that you literally see in the NFL almost every year.
And like, it's horrifying, right?
Yeah,
like you
scary.
Can tell like something awful is going on inside your brain right now.
It's a genuine concern for that person. And I think, Tua is a great example of somebody who, you know, like, I don't know how he's doing personally, but like when you look at the impact that's had on his NFL career, you can definitely see a difference. He's all of a sudden, he can't seem to put the ball in the right spot. And like, that's not just like, oh, he's just washed now. No, he's too young to be washed. That's not what it is. He's had these terrible head injuries and he's not able to like put it together. Cause there is like, as a quarterback, you have to actually like precisely put the ball in the right spot. And that takes thinking. That takes like a lot. That takes a lot to like be able to actually put it in the right spot at the right time. And, you know, you take all these head hits, head injuries and stuff, that you're not going to be able to do that as well.
Right. Yeah. And I liked how, you know, after he headbutts the guy and the guy drops down like that, mm-hmm. he's still in that pose. Right.
Yeah.
And everyone else like circles around him and they're all like celebrating the fact that he just did that. And they're like pumping him up. And that's like the most proud that like Marlon Wayans' character is of him mm-hmm. up to that point. Right.
Yeah.
Like he's finally like, we're getting him right. We're getting him to change.
Yeah.
He's starting to be like one of us. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like slightly disturbing. Right.
Yeah.
This guy's still laying there.
Mm-hmm. Also, Marlon Wayans, I mean, like standout performance. Like that is probably the best performance Marlon Wayans has ever given. I mean, the way he would flip in the same scene between being like this really nice guy to like just like tweaking out, just like yelling and screaming and like just like he just switched back and forth just like it was nothing. Like, and honestly, it was like there were almost like three personalities in him, where it's like just like this like really nice guy to like just like freaking out, like can't control himself, and then just like almost just him. Like just him and himself. And you really rarely saw that, just him being himself. And then every time that you did, it would follow up with, oh, I'm gonna go watch some film real quick. Yeah, you know, you guys do, I'll catch up with you later. I'm gonna go watch some film. And then
every time he came back to like his like true, like he's a good guy. He's just trying to help somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then he would, yeah. Then he's got to go watch film.
And you see at the end, the film that he's been watching is just, it's like we're talking about, it's just a bunch of like, it's just like this, like, this is a kaleidoscope that it would kind of be. I don't know. It's like this like circular, like twisted image of just like a bunch of fans just like screaming and like yelling and stuff and like their hands in the air. Like that's all it is. That's the film he's watching.
Yeah, he's just watching them sitting there, just watching that.
Yeah. And that puts him back in like his messed up mindset. So,
and then when you see him after he's watched film, yeah, he's totally flipped back and he's like this cold, calculated kind of guy. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it gets to him. Yeah. I agree. Marlon Wayans was phenomenal in that movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's great. You know, I've watched him for a long time, but mm-hmm. I think that's the first time I've seen him in that kind of role. And yeah, he was great. I mean, there were people that were concerned like, oh, he's too old. Cause he's like, you know, 50 or something, or in his young 50s, like he's too old to play that role. I mean, he looked like he was in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't look 50, right?
No,
like he looked like he could be a veteran quarterback. Like I thought he looked good. So,
well, I mean, honestly, that's kind of a silly thing to say anyway. Cause you look at a lot of these, I mean, Joe Flacco, he's 41. Aaron Rodgers is 40. Yeah. Tom Brady was probably
well into his 40s, right?
Yeah.
I think maybe, yeah, I can't remember exactly.
I mean, that's, you know, I'm obviously going to do some makeup with the guy, right? Like, he looks the perfect age to be a veteran quarterback. And it's not like they're going to have him out here. Now, I remember seeing something that he was joking about. Like, oh, yeah, he was practicing. Like, he was getting ready to go out there and play. But then they had, like, a stunt double to, like, you know, do, like, the, like, passing scenes. But honestly, he didn't really do a lot of, like passing, a lot of like action moments. It was a lot more of like,
he was the one running the drills, right?
Yeah. He was the coach. Like he was the coach that was like coaching him, and he'd be in uniform, but he wasn't really playing the game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And his ability, like you were saying, to flip back and forth between those different personalities, I thought it was fantastic. It really was part of what made the movie for me. I mean, because he did it so well that it was literally like he changed his personality
mm-hmm.
from one second to the next.
Yeah.
And you could see it like throwing off Tyreek Withers' character.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
No,
like
he
didn't know what to think or what
confused.
To do. And
he did a great job too, by the way. Like this is his first, like, I know he was in like the, I know what you did last summer remake, but like this is his first like big movie outside of that. And I think he did amazing. Like, it was really great. Like, yeah, no, he did great. I that made me want to see him in more stuff too. So, you know, I'm really glad that he had this great role. Now, obviously people haven't received the movie as well, but I'm glad that he had a great acting performance and role in the movie. So, you know, people who are making more like actually good movies are going to want him in their movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. He did a good job. I think he played the role really well, and he sold it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, Marlon, like his ability to do that. I mean, he's always had that ability, but like this is the first time I think that it's been like broadcast to this level of like how he can switch like that. But no, because I remember seeing him on Kai Cenat's Mafiathon stream recently. And when he was on there, he would kind of like, you know, he'd just be himself. And then all of a sudden he would just start doing the shorty voice from Scary Movie. And it would be like a perfect, it'd be like, but it would just be like literally like a sentence to the next. And he was just like it was, he was immediately in role. And it was like, wow, like that's good. Like that's, cause it's not just like, oh yeah, I'm just like reading some lines in a deep voice. No, he's changing the way his face is looking. He's changing the entire tone and the way he's pronouncing words. Like he completely changes everything, not just like lowering or raising his voice.
Yeah. I mean, that's just talent, right? Mm-hmm. That's years of just being really good and talented and practicing your craft, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still thrown by like the people that didn't like it. I mean, for the people that did get it, I wonder if some of it is like, they don't like we're big football fans, right? Like we love watching the NFL. We also understand that like these guys are like putting their bodies through this meat grinder, right?
Yeah.
And they're taking like long term, like they're not going to have the same healthy potential as someone who doesn't go play in the NFL, right? Yeah. Like it's just reality.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with the fact that I still like watching the NFL. And I wonder if some people are just like caught up in the whole, like, well, this makes me feel bad about myself because I like the NFL, but you're saying that it's bad for these players kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I feel like some people can't separate the, like, yeah, that you like something, but it doesn't mean that you like necessarily condone that. But also it's a human thing like that. And they talked about that in the movie, how like football is like the modern,
like the gladiator games.
Yeah. Gladiator games and stuff. I mean, like people used to watch that and you're literally watching two people fight to death. But you know, those people, if they saw two people fighting in the streets, they're fighting to death in the street. They'd probably be like, whoa, stop. It's like, it, but because it's in a game, it's like, oh, okay. You know, that's a game, but it's a human, it's in our nature to honestly enjoy violent things. Like that's like, it's kind of weird, but like that is like in our human nature to do. Like, I mean, even boxing, right? Like whole point of boxing is two guys beating each other up. Like, and you know, it has a pretty wide fan base, right?
Right. And by the way, those guys' brains take a beating too, right?
Like, yeah.
It's not good for them. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's within this, like these boundaries, right? And like, that's what makes people feel okay watching it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's within the bounds. Yeah. I don't know, man. I liked it. I liked, you know, the final scene, that's where it like starts to get into some more of the traditional horror elements where there's like, you know, gore and things like that. There's not really a lot of gore throughout the entire movie. There's a little bit here
little,
and there,
little
right?
pieces there and there, but not a ton.
But, you know, I thought it was interesting because there's not much of that. And then like all of a sudden at the end, there's a whole bunch, right? He's like, he's killing, you know, he kills Isaiah White, right? Marlon Wayans' character. He kills his wife. He kills
Marlon's wife. Or Isaiah White's wife.
Yeah. He kills the owners. He kills, you know, his agent. He killed like everyone that was there, right? Like trying to get him to like pressure him into signing this contract,
Which I guess a lot of people were upset about that, which I thought was weird because, by the way, that's been like a thing for years of like a super gory final finish to the movie. I mean, Quentin Tarantino does that all the time, right? Like it's not like that never happens. So I thought that was weird. People were upset about it, but also I think there is symbolism in that where it's like, you know, he was using a sword. Well, not for Marlon, but for everybody else, he was using a sword. It was like, he's cutting them off. Like he's cutting them away, cutting them out of his life. They're no longer having any effect on him. I feel like you could look at it like that too. It's like, it's the symbolicness of he's not signing. He's cutting all these people out.
Yeah. And that's the thing I feel like so many people are just missing. Like the whole movie is, it's supposed to be symbolic, right? And so like when you're doing a metaphor for something or when you're doing symbolism for something, you kind of take it to an extreme, right? Yeah. Like that furthers the point.
Yeah, it's part of
prove your point, right? And I feel like people got hung up on like, oh, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would this guy like literally kill these people? And to me, it's like, well, he didn't literally kill, like he didn't do He didn't do any of this.
Yeah, it's like
this is supposed to just be a metaphor for what he's figuratively doing.
Yeah. And also, this is a fictional movie. Like, in real life, nobody's actually doing that. But like, in the terms of this fictional story, this fictional movie, that is completely fine and makes sense. And again, it's, as the audience, you're not supposed to take away from this, oh, so I guess I should just kill all the people in my life that are like, no. The point is, you're cutting them out of your life.
Yeah.
That's the symbolism. Right. Yeah. Like, it's pretty simple. Like, these are very simple things, like very simple comprehension of a movie. Like, I don't know why all of a sudden we can't do it anymore. Like,
and that's what confuses me about all the hate. Like, I don't get it. Like, the whole thing's supposed to be symbolic, and yet people are treating it as if they were trying to tell a realistic story. And
yeah,
and I don't know. I don't know if that's bad marketing. Like, maybe some of it is. Maybe it wasn't great marketing up front, so people didn't know what to expect.
I think that has a huge hand. I think a lot of people went into it thinking, oh, this is going to be like a gory horror movie. Oh yeah. And then it's like, oh, this is actually a horror movie that you have to like think about. It's one of those. And I love those, but yeah, I think a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people want to watch their horror movie and they want to see gore and they want to see scary stuff. And then that's it.
Yeah.
But this is one that really makes you think, and there's a lot of symbolism in it. There's a lot of metaphors. And so a lot of people are going to be upset about that.
Yeah. But I loved it.
I mean, yeah.
I think like, if you're the kind of person that doesn't mind a movie that makes you think a little bit, then I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing we didn't talk about that we got to mention is the trainer. I thought he was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like him a lot. I like how they used him, right? Like from the get go in the movie, like, he was a little bit different and would like tell him some things, right? And like, he was trying to help him.
Yeah.
And then like when Cam, Tyreek Withers' character, goes and like, he's meeting with the owners right at this big party or whatever.
Yeah.
And, his trainer, like the trainer, like pulls him aside and whispers in his ear, like, run. Right. And then later the trainer gets killed, right? They cut his head off. Again, it goes back to the whole, like, you know, so many of these like doctors and trainers over the years have been like trying to get guys to like, hey, you need to retire, or like, your body can't take this anymore type of deal. Right.
Yeah.
And yet like, there's this draw to like, no, you gotta shoot them up with painkillers so that they can get back out there on the field. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, no one wants to hear that from the trainer, but you know, deep down, like, those guys, they got into this profession for a reason. They're trying to help these guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I did think that was really well done with him.
All right. Well, you got anything else you want to mention before we give our verdict on this?
No, I think that about covers everything I want to talk about.
What are you thinking? What are you scoring it?
Honestly, I think I'd give it like a 10 out of 10. Like, to me, this was on the same level of like Sinners. Like, I might have even liked it more than Sinners. I don't know. I'd have to, because obviously, like, you know, my first Sinners viewing experience was really great too. So I feel like I'd have to kind of watch them both again, you know, kind of like get it like, all right, let me see how it holds up after a rewatch. I've already seen Sinners more than once, but got to see him more than once as well. But yeah, I would give it 10 out of 10. I really enjoyed it. I thought the acting was great. I thought the story was great. I liked the symbolism. I thought it had great purpose. Like, stylistic wise, like aesthetic wise, I thought it was also great. That's something that a lot of people talk about. They loved, like, they thought it looked really great. Like, the way they like did everything.
Yeah. The imagery, the darkness of it, the sort of like demonic pieces that were just like sort of around, but they weren't like a huge focus of the movie.
Yeah. And then until the end, when it was like, oh no, there is like, there's a pentagram on the floor. And then you see that his agent gets dragged to the pentagram and then blown up as like the sacrifice for like the signing and stuff, you know, like, I don't know. I love the movie. I really don't have like anything negative to say, other than I think that the marketing was poor for it. But other than that, like, everything in the movie I loved.
Yeah. I'm giving this a 10 out of 10 too. And which kind of surprises me, cause I didn't expect that going into it. I didn't necessarily know exactly what to expect, but I didn't expect to come out giving it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
But I loved it. It was my favorite. It's my favorite movie of the year so far.
For sure.
And we've seen some other good movies, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Sinners and Superman both this year. I loved Sinners and Superman, but I think this one, again, I need to rewatch it, cause I rewatched both of those, but I don't know. I mean, this one might seriously like take the cake, you know?
Yeah, to me it does. It was just thoroughly enjoyable. I mean, all the things you mentioned, the symbolism, you know, the visual aspects that they brought into it, the acting, I just thought they knocked it out of the park for what they were trying to do. I think if you go into it and you're looking for something completely different, then it might be a letdown for you, right? Yeah. But if you go into it sort of with an open mind or understanding that there's a lot of symbolism and that they're actually trying to like tell a story to make a point, then I think you'll love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, that does it for us. Make sure you subscribe and be sure to check out our next episode.